Welcome to another inspirational message from Church on the Rock Pal. Thank you for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us at www.therockchurch.co.za.
I'm excited to be here. Yeah. And if I look nervous, it is because I am nervous. Let's pray first. Lord, we want to honor you and glorify you. Lord God, you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. And I pray, Father, that you will speak through me today, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, we'll open our hearts, Lord God. And you will. I pray, Lord God, that you will move today, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, you will anoint this word, Father. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit now, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that nobody will leave this place the same today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you're ready for the word, say after me, my heart's open, my mind's ready, I won't be the same again, in Jesus' name, amen. And that is really my prayer, that you won't be the same again. As you walk out of this building today, that you won't be the same again. Now, our word for the year is moving forward. And I think it's time to take stock of the year. Maybe it's a good time to reassess our game plan for the year. I mean, our goal was to move forward, but was there forward movement in your life since the beginning of the year? Is our current game plan working? Is your strategy working? Am I moving forward in the right direction? And I want to encourage you, this year is not over. Ja, ek weet is al September, but there's still plenty of time left to move forward. And it is your move, and you need to get moving. And today I want to give you a few pointers to hopefully help you. And I want to use the game of chess as an example, analogy, whatever you want to call it. And that's where the title of this word comes from. It's your move. In other words, it is your time to play. And I hope then that whenever you see a chessboard in the future or a chess piece or whatever, it will remind you of this word today. Now, what is the most important piece when you play chess? A king. I didn't say it to him. I didn't. Thank you, man. You see, the whole game is about the king. And I think you're going to see where this is going now. The whole game is about the king. It's about protecting your king and taking the opponent's king. That is the aim of the game. It's about the king. It's about strategy, planning, but ultimately it is about the king. Now, isn't that the same in life as well? Isn't life about the king? And often we play the game of life as if the king is not important. Yes, the king is there, but it's pretty much ignored when we do life. The king is not the center of our attention. Church, life is about the king. So my first point today is you need to identify your king. Ask yourself, who is my king? Is it Jesus, the King of Kings? Or is it money or wealth? Is it power? Is it pleasure? Is it ourselves? See, if you don't know who your king is, you will end up serving the wrong king. Therefore, you need to identify your king. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money, but also you cannot serve both God or power, or both God and yourself. You need to identify your king. Because like I said, because if you don't know who your king is, you will end up serving the wrong king. And it's easy to say, but Jesus is my king. But is your life about serving Jesus as your king? Or do we serve money? Or do we serve power? Or do we serve ourselves? Do we serve pleasure? Listen, like Cam just now said, it's a great offering. And I will use it. But there's nothing wrong with money or there's nothing wrong with power, but it shouldn't be your king. See, if you serve the wrong king, you will not move forward. Or you might think that you're moving forward, but your forward movement will not have eternal value. Matthew 6:31 says, "So do not worry, say, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." See, God knows that you need the things, but don't make the things your king. Like I said, if you serve the wrong king, you will not move forward. If you are protecting the wrong king, you will not move forward. You will lose the game. And it's tempting to use honor and power and wealth and prestige to measure people, even to measure ourselves. It's easy to think that such people are really getting ahead in life. But it's important to realize, I want you to get this, it's important to realize that wealth, honor, power, or prestige add nothing to our value in God's eyes. Wealth, honor, power, and prestige add nothing to our value in God's eyes. Psalm 62 verse 9 says, "Common people are as worthless as puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on the scales together, they are lighter than a breath of air. Don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing." In this part then. "And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life." God has spoken plainly, and I've heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you repay all people according to what they have done. See, if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. This doesn't say it's wrong to have your wealth increase, but when your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. In other words, don't make it your king. And it's the same with power and honor and prestige. Don't make it your king, but use it to serve the king. Let us align our desires and our priorities with what God thinks is important. In verse 12 says, the last part says, that God will repay all people according to what they have done. So it's not about the power and the money you have, it's about what you are doing with that. Amen? Serving the king. So in chess, it's about a king. In life, it is about the king. Number two, if you play chess, you need a plan. In life, if you want to move forward, you need to plan. If you want to win a chess game, you need to plan. You need to have a strategy. And you need to update your plans regularly, because the situation may change. That might require a new plan. In other words, you need to use your brain. I've got an awesome wife, and she's... And she's good in a lot of things. She's brilliant in some, but chess is not one of them. See, when she plays chess, it's just about moving chess pieces around. Yeah. There's absolutely no planning involved. It's just a matter of what moves are this piece allowed to make. So it's just about playing within the rules, but with no plan, with no strategy. And I can tell you there's a very little chance that she will ever win a chess game. And often we do the same in life. We play within the rules. And yes, don't hear what I'm not saying. Yes, you need to play within the rules. But do you play with a plan? Or are you just moving chess pieces around? Hoping that you will move forward. Going through the motions. Hoping that there will be a good result. You see, Matthew 6:34, we just read it, that we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. But it didn't say, or it doesn't say, we shouldn't plan for tomorrow. Yes, don't worry about tomorrow, but still plan for tomorrow. Amen? I want you to get this. Don't use faith as an excuse for a lack of planning. Can I say it again? Don't use faith as an excuse for a lack of planning. We need to have a plan and we need to have a strategy. Luke 14:28 says, suppose one of you want to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost and see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. See, if you start to build a tower without planning, you are going to fail. You have to first sit down and measure the cost. And you may say, I'm building in faith. No, you're not building in faith. Can I be honest? You're building in stupidity. Amen? We need to use our brain and we need to plan. You won't win a chess game if you don't have a strategy. You need to have a strategy. You need to be intentional. In your life, if you want to move forward, you need to have a plan and you need to have a strategy. You need to use your brain and you need to think. Proverbs 21:5 says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Good planning and hard work. See, planning is required. You need to have a plan. You need to have strategy. And if you can't do it on your own, get help. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So get help. But important, get the right help. Get the right people to speak into your life. Don't ask your broke friend for financial advice. Or your person who can't keep his marriage together for marriage advice. So we need to plan and we need to plan. Don't just go through the motions and moving chess pieces around and hoping for a better result. Amen? Are you still with me? Number three, don't get yourself in the wrong positions. In chess, you need to watch for your opponent as well. His aim is to win as well and to make you lose. His aim is to set you up for failure, to entice you, when you ate the lock, to entice you in the wrong move. In life, the enemy wants you to lose. He will do anything to make you do the wrong move. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So don't get yourself in the wrong positions where you are vulnerable. Like in chess, you don't want your king to be in a vulnerable position. And maybe it's time to reassess your position. At the beginning of the year, we had a plan of moving forward. But are you currently in position to move forward? And often we are tempted into the wrong position. And there might be valid reasons, practical reasons. You might be under some form of pressure, maybe at work or financial pressure. You're becoming so tired, you don't have the strength to continue to move forward. Maybe you don't sleep well. You're constantly tired. And that's a difficult position to move forward from. In Matthew 26, just before the crucifixion, we find where Jesus took Peter, John, and James into Gethsemane to pray. And he left them and went a bit further. And on returning, Jesus found them asleep. And he said in verse 40, then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. You see here, Jesus used Peter's drowsiness, tiredness, to warn him about the kinds of temptation he would soon face. And the way to overcome temptation is to keep alert and to pray. Now, keeping alert means to be aware of the possibilities of temptation, to be sensitive to its subtleties, and to be spiritually equipped to fight it. See, because temptation strikes when we are the most vulnerable, when we can't resist it alone. And prayer is essential because God's strength can show up our defenses and defeat the enemy's power. Remember, it's about the King. Don't get yourself in the wrong position. And I know it might be very difficult, but I want to encourage you, take stock of your current position. And for some of you, maybe you've got the wrong friends. That's not a good position to move forward from. Get yourself the right friends so you're in the right position. Amen. Maybe you live in some sort of sin and you know it. It is not a position to move forward from. Get yourself planted in the house of God. Psalm 92 says those planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. Get yourself to worship night. That is the position from where you can move forward. Amen. Get yourself in the right positions. Number four, you need to be prepared to make sacrifices. See, some pieces and chairs are more valuable than others. They are pawns, peona, and yes, they have a value, but they are pieces of more value. For example, the queen. And you need to ask yourself, is this a queen or is this a pawn? Because you're not playing checkers where all the pieces are the same. Your marriage is not a pawn. Amen? Your children are not pawns. They are valuable. But they are pawns in your life. And yes, they might have a value, but they can be sacrificed for something of more value. Remember, ultimately, it's about the king. And we must be prepared to sacrifice things for things of more value. And also for the purpose of the king. In Matthew 9, we find where the rich young man came to Jesus and asking, what good deed should he do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him to keep the Ten Commandments, and then he lists six of them. And the young man replied that he kept them all. Then Jesus told him they must do something else quite different. Sell everything and give the money to the poor. Let's read from verse 21. Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. You see, Jesus' answer exposed this rich young man's king. See, this man's wealth was his king. It was his idol, and he would not give it up. Now you may ask, but should all believers sell everything they own? See, Jesus did not require this of everyone. See, we are responsible for caring of our needs and the needs of our families. We should, however, be willing to give up anything if God asks us to do so. See, this kind of attitude allows nothing to come between us and God, our King. And for this young man, wealth was his king. My question to you is, who is the king in your life? And are you willing to sacrifice for the King of Kings? Are you willing to sacrifice that which is important to you for what is important to the king? Are you willing to sacrifice pawns for pieces of more value? For example, your marriage. Ask yourself, is this a pawn or is this a queen? And we need to be prepared to make sacrifices if we want to move forward. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Number five, it is your move. Get moving. Do you know there's more than one way to win a chess game? Not only can you checkmate a player, but the player can run out of time as well. And especially on chess tournaments, you normally have a chess clock, something like that on a picture, and you have a certain time until to play, and I don't want to make it complicated, but the bottom line is, you can't just wait forever before you move. Because the clock is ticking. In life, if it is your time, you need to move. It is your move, and it's your time to get moving, because the clock is ticking. In Exodus, we find where the Israelites reached the Red Sea as they were leaving Egypt, and the Egyptians were chasing them, and I'm going to read this quite a long part, but I'm going to read from verse 10. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up in panic when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we're still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. And then this part. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving and the worship team can come up. Like the Israelites, you might be in a difficult position. You might have the army, Egyptian army behind you with the Red Sea in front of you. You're between a rock and a hard place. And it's easy to be like the Israelites. We want to go back. We want to go backwards. We are longing for the past. We move forward, but then we want to press the undo button. We want to go back. But God said, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. In other words, move forward. It is your move. It is your move, and you need to move forward. You need to go for it. I want to give you a few examples today. Caleb. He was 85 years old when the Israelites entered the promised land. And he said to Joshua, give me that mountain. Yes, I know there's still giants. But we will drive them. We will drive them out. We will go for it. We will move forward. Think about the 10 lepers. They could have said, we will just wait our lives out. And we wait in isolation with our body parts falling off. But they heard that Jesus was coming by. And they shouted, Jesus, Jesus, notice us. Jesus, look at us. People told them to shut him up, to shut up, and they refused. This is their once in a lifetime opportunity. Jesus, the Son of God, is passing by, and we're not going to miss out on an opportunity to at least ask the question, Jesus, notice us. They see, they were moving forward. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't go and say, oh, I'll wait here, and maybe Jesus noticed me. No. You see, the woman with the issue of blood, she was forbidden to interact with people. She was forbidden to interact with society. But here she was pressing through the people, breaking all social boundaries, breaking all religious boundaries. She didn't care. She had the issue of blood and nobody could help her. Nobody could fix her. And she thought, I'm going to go for it. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will push through the crowd and I will be healed. I will move forward. Think about the Syrophoenician woman who said, Lord, Lord, please come and heal my daughter. And Jesus said, no, it's not right to take the children's food and toss it to the dogs. And she said, Lord, I will take whatever you give me. I don't care if you call me a dog. I don't care if I get the leftovers. I'm going for it. I'm moving forward. Friends, you've got to go for it. Jacob said, Lord, I said to the angel, I will not let you go until you have blessed me. The angel said, no, it's time to go. And Jacob said, you know, you're not going anywhere until you have blessed me. Just you got to go for it. You got to go for it. Amen. You got to go for it. You need to move forward. Don't be denied. Daniel, he prayed for 21 days. He didn't stop after day 1 or 2 or 5 or 10. No, he went for it. He was persistent. He was powerful. He was prevailing. He wouldn't be denied until he got his answer. He wouldn't stop until breakthrough. He wouldn't give up. He wouldn't be denied. And we find as he prayed that the angel found strength through the power of his prayer. And the angel broke through. He said, Daniel refused to give up. And he moved forward. I'm going to pray and go on praying. And go on praying. I'm gonna ask and go on asking. Gonna seek and go on seeking. Gonna knock and go on knocking. I will not be denied. I will not let you go until you have blessed me. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just get Jesus' attention. Be like Zacchaeus who climbed the tree to get the attention of Jesus. You gotta go for it, church. The blind man, he held out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Listen, give Jesus your best. Give Jesus your best. Break that alabaster box of oil and give Jesus your best. You gotta go for it. Take that roof off and carry your friends to Jesus. Stop making excuses why I've been at the pool for 38 years. Get up, pick up your mat and walk. Go for it. Become that water walker. Go for it. Be that giant killer. Be that comeback person. You see, Peter, he denied the Lord 3 times, but he came back again. So you got to go for it. You need to move forward. It is your move. You need to get moving. Push after it. Don't stop moving forward. Don't settle for less what God planned and purposed for you and for your family. And the clock is ticking. Church, you got to go for it. And I've got good news to you. Good news for you today. Do you want to hear it? The good news is, the game is not over. See, in chess, once the king is trapped and can move no more, the winning side declares checkmate and game is over. And you may think in your life there's no hope. You may think this is checkmate. But our Creator God, the King of Kings, has a move left. Our lives and our future are in His hands. And the Lord, the King of Kings, He is the only one who can never, ever be defeated. You see, when the Israelites reached the Red Sea in front of them, the Egyptian army behind them, they thought, this is checkmate. But God had a move left. Then they found themselves in the desert without water. They thought, this is checkmate. This is the end. But God had a move left. Then they were without food in the desert. God had a move left. They thought it was checkmate, but God supplied them manna and quail. Think of Daniel. He was thrown in a den with hungry lions. It looked like checkmate, but our king had a move left. And Daniel remained safe. In John 8, it looked like checkmate for a woman caught in the act of adultery. She was about to be stoned. Checkmate for her. But Jesus had a move left. And He said to her, woman, go and sin no more. Jesus, He was put on a cross. He died. He was put in the grave. The enemy thought, this is surely checkmate. But God had a move left. Our king cannot be defeated. Our king cannot be defeated. It is not over. It is not checkmate for you. So get up today. It is your move. And you need to get moving. Amen. Amen. So to summarize today, number one, you need to identify your king. Because if you don't know who your king is, you will serve the wrong king. And make sure that the King of Kings is your king. Amen. Number two, you need to plan. You can't just move chess pieces around and think you're hoping for a better result. No, you need to have a strategy. You need to be intentional. Get yourself out of the wrong positions and get yourself into the right position. Because if you're out of position, you can't move forward. Amen. And be prepared to make sacrifices. There are pawns and there are pieces of more value. So we need to be prepared to make sacrifices for the king. And the last one is, it is your move. You need to get moving. Church is about the king. And if you want to win the game, make sure that Jesus is the King of Kings and the king of your life. He is the King of Kings, but make sure He's your king and your highest priority. Amen.